You may be seated because I want to tonight. I bless you all. I know you like to play and sing. I love singing. But there's a two-part message that I do want to start tonight. And I pray you always will that I will be able to complete this on the Shabbat. I will endeavor to do that if he doesn't cause me to go some other way. I do not believe he will. There's only one way, and that is the way of truth. And in this hour, above all things, we need to know the truth. The truth. We're not talking about opinions and fabrications and ideas, but we need to know the truth. And there's one thing that truth does, it reveals your way unto a man. His identity, his personality, whom he is, his purpose, his desire, what he has for man. And anything that moves us away from that, that we began to personalize this according to our own personal interpretation, our own perception, according to our own opinions and desires, it is taking us away from truth. For his truth makes us free from those things. We are not bound by circumstances. When a man certainly knows the truth, he's not bound by circumstances. That this is a generation that is bound. It is taken awash by every kind of conceivable sin there is. There's very little stability today in the homes, marriages, with children, in relationships. Very little stability at all. Friendship, love. So there's very little stability there. It's based upon and it's predicated upon feelings and emotions, which are just like the waves of the sea. They change. It depends on the weather. That is how the feeling or the emotion is. That is how the love is. It depends on the circumstance or the situation. To my advantage or to my disadvantage. The mindset today is for my own advantage. I will take advantage of every circumstance whereby I will get the gain. And yet it's no spiritual gain. None whatsoever. You may have a sense of natural dominancy or power in the flesh. But it doesn't bring us before the presence of Yahweh whereby we are touched by him or we can truly touch him. If we are truly touched by him, then we are made free from every kind of bondage, every kind of circumstance. And our minds are not captivated or drawn by these strange spirits that are roaming the earth today. Their powers and princes today that Almighty Yahweh has unleashed upon this wicked earth. Because men have rejected his truth. They have denied it. They will not adhere to what he says. And so they walk estranged from him. As the old proverb says, they walk to a different drum beat. It's not according to his word. As even he spoke unto Amos, he repudiated a people. He said, woe unto them that are at ease at Zion. This is a generation. In this unrighteous world, it's vile, it's wicked. There's nothing pure that comes out of it. It's a world that is incensed with covetousness and greed and loss. And he said unto a house, Israel, he said, woe unto you that are at ease at Zion. He said, you're among an unrighteous people, and there is no crying. There is no sighing for this wickedness that you see that has been perpetrated. And you understand the spirit of it. It is not of my will. He said, because you have done that, he said, because you will not cry out unto me, he said, there's a day that is coming that I'm going to send a famine in the land. He said, the famine, the light will not be because of bread or for the thirst of water. But he said it will be for the hearing, not of the word, but of the words of Yahweh.
He said, and they shall go to and fro and wander from the east to the west, from the north to the south, to hear, to simply hear a word from Almighty Yahweh. And they will wander and they will seek out counsel. Yet he will not send forth any counsel because they are at ease in Zion. They have taken the pure oracles of Yahweh and they have brought them under this law of corrupt flesh, tradition, ideas, and that has actually brought bondage to the house and the people of Almighty Yahweh. That there's no pure liberty to really cry out. None to actually lift our hands because the hands are not clean today. Impurity before Him. It takes an effort today. It's not a liberty. It's not something that moves with fluidity. And that's the way it ought to. For those things ought to flow from our hearts. They ought to be embedded in our souls. It ought to be the life of our souls to please Him. Do that which by bring a response from the face of Almighty Yahweh. And because we are bound and we are caught up in our flesh, because we have been at ease in Zion. And He said, I'm going to bring a day whereby you're going to have a desire to hear the words. It will be a famine. It will be a lack of the words of Yahweh. You will hear a word today, but it's not the words of Yahweh. Messiah said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Amos, as Yahweh caused the prophet to utter, the famine will not be for bread to eat. This is a generation, especially in this nation, we're consumed with bread. There's plenty of bread. You do not have to go to the faucet now to get water. They buy it. They got all kinds of waters to buy, different brands. All kinds. Everyone is selling water. Bread, the natural bread, you can go to the bakeries and find all kinds of bread to your palate and your delight. And yet there is no profound utterance of the words of Yahweh today. When a man hears truth and receives it down into his soul, it begins to break every shackle. Began to break the bondages of a man's life. And today men will go against what he always says. To appease or satisfy his flesh. His own circumstance. Or the situation he perceives that is right. And if it's not according to his truth, it is wrong. And it's not right. And this generation is going to and fro to hear. And yet they're not hearing anything at all. They're going just for a word. Speak a word of prophecy to me. A word that will enrich me. And there is no enrichment today at all. There's no fulfillment at all. It's just a fad, a thing. Again, it doesn't bring by any fruit at all. It doesn't produce fruits. But the word of Yahweh comes forth, or it is spoken and received in a man's heart. We began to bring forth fruit. And that one began to bear much fruit. He said, yes, Uriel, you have sinned. You have gone against my dictates, commands, laws, my ordinance. And he said, because of that, I will send this famine as he did with Elijah. I was one by the name of Ahab. The scripture talks about him. The scripture says he did more wicked. And more unrighteous than any king before him. Look at this generation. There has never been a generation with this kind of mindset today. It is so vile. It is so perverted. There is nothing pure in the motive or motivation. It is a betraying generation. It is one of cutthroats. It is one of, as the old cliche, backstabbers. It's a very vile generation. It's infested with sin. The mind cannot even think clear. It cannot produce any fruitful thought today. The thoughts are so corrupt. is so vile, so wicked, that the mind cannot even function in the capacity that Yahweh put a man in a man to do. And that was to seek Him and to love Him. It's a very difficult thing today to try to press beyond that, because we need the mind, the heart of Messiah. We need that. And we must have it. And there's a reason why. And I want to begin tonight, as I start this message, and I will conclude this on the Sabbath. Yahweh's will. I will. But I do want to begin reading in the book of Kings, 1 Kings. This is a generation that says that they know Him, that they understand Him, and they all will confess that they love Him. But yet there is no pure love for Him. They don't even know Him. For this is a generation that has exalted every kind of corrupt spirit above the things that are pure and righteous. Their own conscience, their minds, their traditions, against the revelation of His truth. That is what the Jews did when Messiah came. Their traditions would not receive Him. But it was written in Scripture that He would come. And His name shall be called Emmanuel. They knew of Him in Scripture. But tradition would not allow them to receive Him. Tradition would not acknowledge Him. For He did not come in the form or in the idea as man thought to see that He should come. That is why today, the true men of Yahweh, because men will not receive them, they do not come in the mannerism. They do not come in the personality that men perceive them or desire them to be or to fashion them. For as Elijah, as he came, he began to speak even against Ahab and his sins. The vile, insidious thing that he had did. And that he had brought a curse upon the house of Israel for his sins. Men today don't believe that. They do not believe that they will bring a curse upon their homes when they began to reject His truth and defy the law of Yahweh and say, I will not allow that man to rule over me. Now that's the mindset of this generation. And yet Satan rules. He takes their ability to think, the ability to reason, the ability to comprehend. This is an ignorant generation. It is very sottish. We are part of that as the people of Yahweh. It's a very sottish. He said, my people, they are sottish. Very ignorant. This is a generation that is stupefied. Has no ability to reason. Has no understanding of truth. For they are at ease in Zion. And they see the woes that are coming. And they take their comfort even in sin. In the association with sin, in the fellowship with sin, and that is one that is at ease in Zion. He said unto Ezekiel, he said, you go forth and you mark every man, everyone, that cry and sighs against this wicked indignation that has overtaken the land, and men walk in their own sins and their lusts. Their wickedness. Today there is no crying and sighing. For this is a generation that is at ease in Zion. They take comfort in unrighteous things. Unrighteous deeds. The actions are corrupt. Sinful. Wicked. And they take comfort in that. Yahweh said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Lot's soul was vexed. He was a righteous man. With hearing and seeing the filthy, wicked conversation of the wicked, that Yahweh had to send the angels to deliver the man from that bondage. And as even he spoke to his son-in-laws, they began to mock him and to speak mockery of this man. Until Yahweh said, you must get out of this place in order to bring him to that place of salvation, that he would be saved from the fire, the death that overtook Sodom, Gomorrah, and all of the surrounding cities. And he is getting a famine. And they're going to run to here. And there shall not be any rain upon the earth, whereby the rain and the refreshing of his word shall fill the hearts and the souls of many today. For they are at ease in Zion. And the reason they are at ease, it is the reason behind that. I want to begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 16. I want to read one verse here. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 28 to verse 34. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, his son, reigned instead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab was the son of Omri, reign over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of Yahweh, above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He considered it a very light thing. It had no consequences at all. That is the mindset today that men today, they consider their sins as a light thing. They do not take thought or conscience of their wicked ways and their corrupt deeds that they perpetrate to do, all in the name of their Redeemer. And their Redeemer is their own flesh. They take comfort and solace in their flesh. The scripture says he did evil and he thought it was a light thing what he had done. That's the way it is today. Man today sinned and he thinks it's a light thing. He doesn't think that there are any consequences behind that. He's not troubled by his corrupt, vile, and evil ways. He doesn't consider it because it is a light thing. It doesn't carry that much merit to it. It's not going to bring me any harm, or there should not be any havoc that will come about because of my sins. And he thought it was a light thing that he did. He did not realize that Yahweh weighs every weighs, or the spirit of every man. He weighs it. And he brings about a balance in a man's life when a man truly submits unto him. And so Ahab did not realize because his mind was corrupt and turned away from the pure things of Yahweh. And that's the way it is today. When a man's mind is corrupt, he thinks what he does is light. It's not an evil thing. He cannot see his evil ways, his corrupt attitude. Yahweh doesn't intend for them to see it. He has, and he is, and he will. He's heaping up the coals of hell, that they're going to burn in the midst of darkness, where the worms shall not die, where the terrors shall overtake them, where they shall be in torment day and night. The natural mind cannot receive that, for it doesn't believe that. And the reason it doesn't believe, because it doesn't believe that there's a hope or a resurrection either. And that is why man continues to sin and to walk in his own pernicious ways. And he corrupts himself. Yet we are very easy to accuse one another, not realizing that you have corrupted your own self, because to the pure, all things are pure. To those that are unbelieving and defiled, there is nothing that is pure. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. And so what they say, it is Pastor Robert's fault. He corrupted me. It is Sister So's fault, because she did not intrigue me with the kind of entreatment that I like. Yet they do not realize the evil that they are doing. And they consider that a light thing. They don't consider the weight of that circumstance or that situation. The spirit of Ahab, he did not realize what he was doing, had great implications upon him and the house of Israel. So it is today, saints. We that are at ease in Zion, there are great implications upon us because we are at ease in Zion. There is no perseverance, no prayer, no fasting, no cleansing of one's flesh from all the filthiness of one's flesh and spirit, because we do not believe the promises of Yahweh. Beloved, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. And that is why there's not much cleansing today. And they will say it is your fault, Pastor. I'm not cleansed. I'm not shown to declare unto you the counsel and the knowledge of truth. And Yahweh has opened up my heart to pour out unto people. You may know what he requires of us and the expectation of him, for he is an austere man. He commands us to do it without any question from us. It is a command. And what he did, he went and he took to himself the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and he went and he served Baal and he began to worship him. He disposed Yahweh and he found him a Lord. What has that to do with us, preacher? Do you understand what a Lord is? It is one that rules without any mercy. It is your own flesh that rules you. It commands you. It drives you. It takes you to strange places. You began to despise your way, his truth. You began to despise his instructions, his counsel. You began to despise one another. And he went and served Baal. And he rejected your way. Why? Because there was a spirit introduced to his heart. Jezebel. And then he gave himself over unto strange deities. And all the spirits that the man's heart was turned away from truth. That is persistent today in the lives of the people. When we are giving ourselves over unto a master, a lord, that is not the great redeemer. We give ourselves over to our lusts, our greed, our own sins, our lies, our emotions, our opinions, our feelings. We give ourselves over unto that. We are taken by those things that lead us into darkness because that is a blind spirit. We need the counsel of Yahweh. We need that spirit, the counsel of Almighty Yahweh. So he began to remove himself away. He joined himself to one that it was forbidden to do that. Yahweh tells us to kill, to crucify our flesh. We know that all flesh is as grass. And we are people that's not willing to do that. We're not willing to crucify us, and to destroy us, and to take us to the cross. It's very easy for us to do it to someone else. And to see the shortcomings of someone else. Very easy. You are at ease at Zion. You can't even see your unrighteousness. You cannot see the vile thing that rules in your heart, in your mind, and cause you to go away from the pure love of truth, from the pure law of righteousness. And that is why Ahab did evil in the sight of Yahweh. He was a vile man, and he was a corrupt man. He did evil. He was wicked. He did that which did not please the Father. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He did more to provoke the Father than all the kings that were before him. We are a people that are doing more to provoke him to anger than any people upon the face of the earth from the beginning to this time. We are people that are persistent in our corrupt ways. Yahweh brings us to the knowledge of our sins. We ought to abandon them. We ought to destroy that thing that brings us unto that bondage all the time. We constantly fall to the same worshiper, bow down to the same spirit. He did evil. He began to build groves. Well, we don't build groves. Oh, certainly we do. You build them with your attitudes. You got your attitude that nothing is going to defy it. Your attitude is very adamant and strong. You go to that attitude or that place to give you strength. You take upon a certain attitude about certain things. You find strength in that attitude to cause you to rebel, to defy, doing those things which are wicked. For you build your own groves and your high places. It's your attitude, your opinion that you highly regard. That is not what the Father wants. That is not what He desires. He never commanded us to do that. He never wanted us to do that. He never wanted Ahab to do that. To build groves, to tear down the oracles of Yahweh, to tear down the standards, and you establish your own standards, to defy the laws of Yahweh, and you establish your standards by your feelings, emotions, by your understanding, by your laws. The laws of Yahweh have no strength and no power at all. Something is wrong in your spirit. Something is wrong in your heart. For He has given us the right way. He has given us counsel and laws, and the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel and knowledge, the Holy Ghost, that will lead us into the presence of Almighty Yahweh, and that we can stand before His counsel. And yet we resort to our natural mind for counsel. We go the way of our carnal mind, but our natural minds are enmity against Him, cannot perceive the things of the Spirit, do not understand them, will not receive them, and there is no love for them, and yet we resort to that for our counsel. Woe unto us. We have done more evil than Ahab did, for we have built our Baals, our gods, our strengths, to defy Him, to defy His laws, and we resort to that instead of calling upon Him with a pure heart, with a righteous heart. Now that is what He wants. And without that, we're not going to enter into the gates of glory, the place of praise and thanksgiving. And that's why it's so difficult for you to do that. That's why you can't do it. You can't press beyond because your groves have impeded you. And you can't get past it. Not at all. You don't have to appreciate the truth. I will preach it despite what man, what my enemies say against me, what you come against me with. It makes no difference at all. I said to Sister Roberts, there's one thing as I get a little older. It is a conclusion. With no doubt, very little fear that I am going to die. I understand that. I know that I am going to die. And the older I get each day, the more resolve that is in my heart. I have no fear of it because I know that that is an appointment and I am going to die. I said to her, they sent me the AARP. You that do not know what that is, as you began to grow toward a certain age, it's an association for retired persons in America. You get discounts. Because you're moving toward what they call a senior citizen. And so they sent me all the stuff today, a letter. Sent me my introductory membership. Everything is ready for me. Send the $12.45. And I will receive the complete package to fill out to get discounts on shoes and different things because I'm getting to that place in life. And it's a stark reality that I understand that. And for me in this hour to be a hypocrite, to play around without any uncertainty when I know that there's an hour of death that is near me. I'm not even a fool. I'm not even an infidel. I'm beyond any return at all. I'm not even backslidden. And that's the truth. It either has to be real or unreal. It has to be truth or untruth. I must be committed or there is an uncommittal there. Can't be a middle ground. It must be sincerity or must be a falsehood. I must be genuine or I must be a charlatan. It's no time to straddle the fence or to play hypocrisy or the role of a hypocrite. It is either I'm real and sincere in my endeavor, or I'm lost on my way to hell. My mind is filled with darkness. I can't perceive truth. I can't speak it, for there is no faith and no love for any kind of truth at all, none whatsoever. And I've built my groves and my high towers and my places of worship, that I go and find my consolation there. Folks find it in their children, in their homes. They find it in their football games, in their televisions, their basketball games, and their physical splendor. Those are their bells, for they will spend more time with that than they will with the Heavenly Father. His truth has no reality in them, but the things that are full of fantasy and falsehood, they have a reality to them. It is either that we are in or you are out. It's either that your vessel has oil, it is burning, you're waiting for the bridegroom, or your eyes are full of darkness, you're blind, submerged in sin. And the hour shall come whereby the darkness will overtake you, and you will have no light to find the glorious entrance into the presence of Almighty Yahweh. And that is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. The scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to read the first three verses. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words. How the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, and this is what the Father said unto Elijah. He said, get thee hence, turn thee eastwards, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. What a statement. What a word. He told him to turn and go hide yourself. As many times as Messiah, he would hide himself away from the mass multitudes of people. He understood what was in the heart of man. He knew their desires and their purpose. And Yahweh said, Elijah, you go hide yourself. For this what I have told you, if you do not get in that place whereby I will speak unto you the words of faith, that you will allow the enemy to rob you of this very essence of strength, of the power of my word. And that is what has happened to the people today. They hear the words, And all of a sudden they leap for joy. Yet they take no pleasure in that. And they find themselves being seduced by the very lords of their will. Their eyes, the lust of it. Their flesh, the lust of their flesh. And their pride, the pride of life. And they find themselves with these this trinity. That's what it is. Their trinity, their strong powers. And they find themselves drawn away and estranged from Yahweh. That they are taken by these things and they are not led by the Spirit. He said, you go and hide yourself. He was led exactly where to go. Hide yourself from Ahab and from the things that are going to overtake the land. Yet he went there. And Yahweh fed him. He sent him to do those things that he commanded him to do. He sent Elijah to do those things and to take care of those, even the widow that was collecting her sticks and was going to bake her bread and she was ready to die. And yet Yahweh sent her there to sustain her, sent him there to speak the words to sustain her. Yet the land was full of famine. The beasts were dying. No rain. No harvest of the crop. Yet this is an analogy of what thing is coming in this hour that is already in the land. Brother Jeff and I were riding today and he said, Pastor, there are 1 billion Muslims. I said, they're all going to hell. So they wiped 1 billion out of the picture already. He said, there are 1 billion Catholics. I said, anyone that is a devout Catholic and committed to the authority of Rome, they shall die in their sins. And in darkness shall they awaken. And I said, brother, there are 1 billion of those that are Hindus. That takes half of the population, whether you receive it or not. Wiped off the earth into darkness. And think about this Protestant religious whorehouse that is worse than the Muslims. They will die one for the other. They will honor each other. Their imams, their clerics, their leaders, oh, they shroud them with honor. This vile, perverted thing, what we call, quote, Christianity, unquote, it is a vile, insidious thing. There is no honor. There is no honor. There is no honor. Yet the Muslims will honor their imams. They will honor their cleric. They will do that. And this is what we call the pyramid of Yahweh. It is not, it is an imposter. That's what it is. It is an imposter. Because the true thing will bring forth true fruit. True spiritual life. It is an imposter. He said he will build his assembly, Messiah. And no gate, the gates of hell, shall not prevail. And the gates of darkness are prevailing today in the minds of those that confess that they are part of the body. They give it over to ways that are so vile. They are the Ahabs. They are evil than Ahab, for they are doing it in hypocrisy, false pretentious. They're not genuine. At least Ahab did what he did. He did it with enthusiasm. Why? Because he had a spirit to direct him there. He had a spirit to convey that unto him, for he rejected the counsel of Yahweh. He joined himself to one that was extreme from the house. And that's what men are doing today. And women, they are seeking out strange spirits. And they're joining themselves unto devious men. The women that are full of lies and corruption. They will speak evil of dignities and speak against things they ought not do. And they literally think it's a small matter. They think it's a light thing as Ahab did. Well, it's not. It's not at all. He said, you go and hide yourself by the river Shereth, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, if I have commanded thee, and the ravens shall feed thee there. You should drink of that water. We drink of the fountain that never runs dry. And he said to Elijah, you drink of that fountain. As he commanded him and the ravens to supply the bread. This generation is filled with bread. It is a grotesque generation. Out of shape. Greedy. With fats. With our lusts. And yet the hearing of the word of Yahweh has no impact in our hearts. To bring the balance and the temperament that is needed for this hour. We have disdain for it. For his laws. His rules. And his counsel. And we say to him, I will not have that man, Messiah, rule over me. And we will not allow him to rule in our hearts. And without that woe unto us. Now this is the essence of what I want to say tonight. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. And it came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria, for the heavens were shut. Elijah did not speak to that perverted house. He caused the hearts to be shut, that they would not hear. Not only was there a famine of water, but the famine of bread was in the land. For there was a drought in the land. And the earth, there was dearth in the earth. And there shall be dearth in this earthen vessel. There's going to be a yearning and a travailing like never before. There's going to be a weeping that's going to howl from this earth. And they're going to howl like drunken men. For they will not drink of the glass of the cup of righteousness. They're going to drink of the cup of their sins and the dregs of their wickedness. For they have discounted the Father. They've raised up their standards that are totally carnal. That has nothing to do with the revelation of his power in a man's soul. When a man has that revelation, he understands the destruction of sin and the powers of darkness, how they encroach upon his soul to destroy every fiber and every sense of knowledge of his truth. So it draws a man into a way of traditions and ways that are fleshly appeasing and acceptable to the flesh. Everything he speaks to us today, it is never acceptable to the flesh. He never intended for it to be. He intended for it to destroy the flesh, the will of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. He knows that hell and destruction are never full. He knows that the heart of man is never satisfied. I don't care what he gives you. I don't care if there's rain enough and bread to the till. Your heart will never be satisfied with that. He understands that. He said, you go show yourself unto Ahab. It was a sore famine. Do you understand a sore famine? Grievous infliction upon the bodies. The natural mind, the mentality of that type of vexation. It was a sore famine. Yahweh did that for one reason. That's why those in this hour, they're going to go wander east to the west. They're going to run to the north, to the south. And they're going to go just to hear a word, not the words, but a words. They're going to desire something for their thirsty souls, the famished soul. You're always going to shut the mouths of those. He's going to speak only to his seed. And it's going to be by the Spirit. That's why he wants us to have the ear to hear what the Spirit says. He doesn't want you to hear things naturally and carnally. That is the thing that has drove us away from the Father. We have heard many things naturally. Busybody, gossiping, conversating. And they never bring about an excellency of love an excellency of oneness, an excellency of concern and compassion. I say to you all, I am concerned about the saints here, you that are here. I have not changed because some have left. My heart is still the same. I still do care for you, your souls, and I'm still concerned with that. I'm not concerned which one has gone to make me less compassionate or concerned with you. The matter of fact, it's more intense now than it was then. So the heart has not changed one bit. And the love has not. My desire to fellowship with you has not changed. Not one bit. He said, you go and show yourself unto Ahab, for there's a famine in the land. And Ahab called Obadiah. Mighty man Obadiah was, which was the governor of a house. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly. Isn't that amazing? The character of this man. How he feared Yahweh greatly. Yet there are us that say we fear him greatly. And yet we are concerned with our flesh. Because he was a man that as the word of Yahweh was spoken, he knew it was. He knew who it was. It said he feared Yahweh greatly. A great love. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. And he fed them with the bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. He said that we do not lose all the beasts. It was a famine. But the king said, you go to the places, to the fountains. You go to Jacob's well and see if there's water there to be had. For even the beasts, they're going to die if we do not get water for them. So he sent his faithful commandant, a man that feared Yahweh, governor, ruler of his house. Yet there was one that he had there to meet Obadiah in the way. He has Messiah to meet us right there in the way. When famine overtakes the land, those that are under the government of Almighty Yahweh, and when he speaks the word of faith unto us, we must adhere and obey what he says. For if we don't, we're going to die. The famine is going to overtake us. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, before Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou that my master, Elijah? Are you the one that I know that the mighty hand of Yahweh is upon? And he answered him, I am. And he gave him a command. Go, tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here. The one that caused the famine by the prophecy of Yahweh. You tell him I'm here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thyself in the hand of Ahab to slay me? He said, have I sinned? Have I been misguided? Am I not one that loved Yahweh? Do I not fear him and love him greatly? And you tell me to go to Ahab, how he has destroyed the prophets by the command of Jezebel. And you tell me to go unto him. This man was the governor of his house. And Ahab knew the man. He entrusted him with his riches. And he said, you go, why? Because Ahab knows you, and he will receive the words. And yet he had fear and doubted the man of Yahweh. That's the heart of man today. They doubt the relevancy of the word of faith. They doubt the things that Yahweh commands them to do because they seem so strange. It will cause me to be cut off from life. It will cause me to lose those things I'm endeared to. And they're not willing to do that. So he said, am I a sinner? Have I sinned against Yahweh? Have I done something that is so grievous that you will send me to this man and tell him that Elijah is here? He said, as Yahweh thy Elohim liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my master have not sent to seek thee. He said, he has looked for you high and low. Every place where there is a mountain or a cave, he has gone to look for you. And yet he was right there by the river of Cherith. And Yahweh had him there, and he hid him from even the snares of Ahab. He said, he has looked for you high and low. There's not a place he has not looked for you. And so it is with the powers of darkness. We are hid in him. We are the arms of his protection. We are like chicks as a hen bring them under her brood, under her wings, to protect them from the wiles of the storms and from the famine that is in the land. He said, and when they say he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. When men say that you were there, you were not there. When they saw you and thought they had you, you were not there. Why? Because he was hidden by Almighty Yahweh. He did not intend for that vile thing to lay hands upon him. Nor does he intend for the world to touch his seed or his house. That's why he has separated them from this vile world, that their hearts are not like the world, and they ought not to desire the desires of the world. And yet it desires, or this people that call themselves the seed of Yahweh, they desire just what the world desires. They give it unto that spirit. He said, and now thou sayest, go tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the spirit of Yahweh shall carry thee whither I know not. He said, I know what's going to happen. When I tell Ahab this, the father's going to remove you, and I will not know where you are. And then he will kill me because I've not brought him a word of truth. You telling me to take him this message? And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find me, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear Yahweh from my youth. Was it not told my master what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of Yahweh? How I hid 100 men of Yahweh's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy master, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as Yahweh of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. He said, I will show myself unto him. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Are you the one that caused the famine? The bread to cease from our bread baskets? The good things that flourish to fail? Are you the one that troubleth Israel? Are you the one that caused the famine? You always said he's going to send the famine. It shall not be for the eating of bread or for the drinking of thirst, but for the hearing of the words of Yahweh. And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that thou yet ye have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, and thou hast fallen after Balaam. He says, it's not me that troubled Israel. It's not another brother or sister that trouble you. It is your own sins. It is your own corruption. You do not have the pure love. You do not have a righteous spirit. And so he said, you are the one that troubled Israel. He said, no, it's your sins. At the sins of your fathers, they have sinned against the Father. They have gone away from his commandments. And that's what man has done. He's gone away from his commandments. He's gone after his own laws and his own commandments. He tells us to love him with all that we have. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Upon them hinge all the laws of Yahweh. That's what he tells us. He tells us to be friends one with the other. No greater love than this than a friend, a brother. A friend will lay down his life for his friend. We don't do that. We go after things that are estranged from Yahweh. We will love that which is wicked and vile more than we love that which he commands us to love him. We will love that thing that is vile, that thing that is a Baal in our lives, that is the Lord, because we want to please him more than we love his commandments and his laws. He tells us to love him above all things. And set our affections on things that are above. The things that are divine. The things that are heavenly. We ought to have our aspiration, our hearts there. That should be our inspiration. It should be those natural things. That should be our inspiration to see the glory of his presence. And to stand before him. And to receive that mighty anointing that can only come from him. And that's not the heart today. He doesn't want to do that. It wants to do its own thing. That's why there's going to be a great famine. Woe to us that are at ease in Zion. We think that Yahweh is a lawyer. And what he says, he's not going to do it. Oh, that's the mindset. We don't say it verbally, but our deeds and our actions show us that we don't believe what he says. We believe that he is coming, then we ought to be redeeming the time. Our ways, we ought to change them. We ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We should not be conformed to this world. There should be a renewed person. A new figure, a new attitude. Has no aspiration in this life. For this life is only temporal. It's going to fade away. There's something beyond this life. There's something beyond this barringer in our lives. This is a barringer here. This is a barren place. This is something that prevents us from actually getting into the presence of Almighty Yahweh. It is your flesh. That's what Obadiah was, his flesh. He was concerned. He's going to slay me. He's going to slay me. I can't go tell him that. For I know that you are a spiritual man. And I know what Yahweh has done with you. He has done great things. And what he's going to do, he's going to take you out of the way. When I bring Ahab, he will not be here. He's going to slay me. Yet this was the same man in the midst of famine that had bread and water for the prophets. He put 50 away, 100 of them away in the caves. He hid them. Why? Because he feared Yahweh greatly. He feared him very greatly. And he sent him a command, a simple command. He speaks unto us simple things. And yet we find them so difficult to believe. Oh, that wasn't difficult for him to do that. Gave him some kind of consolation, a sense of strength. But to take a simple word to a king. And he was commanded by Elijah, by the word of faith. Yet he trembled at that. And yet to receive the simple words of faith that would give us strength over this opposition of our flesh, we tremble at that. We say, I don't believe that he intends for us to do that. I don't think it's that way. I don't believe he meant that. I don't think he wants us to walk in that kind of, in that way, or to do those things. Yes, he means just that. For your flesh opposes that, so he means just that. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. He said, get all Israel, because you're always going to do something great. And the prophets of Baal, 450. And the prophets of the grove, 400. 850, which eat at Jezebel's table. What a powerful statement there. That's a message in itself. The table of Jezebel. They eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions now? If your way be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They couldn't speak because they were in hypocrisy, in sin. They didn't know whom they were serving, what they were doing. This is a generation that don't know what they are doing and who they think they know. That's the truth. We think we know one another. If we are all in the body, I think I know my body. You all see me up here. I know when I move a certain way, my neck, I know what's going to happen. And so if you have a pain or something, you know your body. You know exactly what to do and what not to do. You do. And we're just supposed to be one body. There should not be a diversity of thought.